Blog Talk Radio.
That red light tells me that the Chris Sheeran Show starts right now. And joining the program with me right off the top is our good buddy Patrick Teal from Pinstripes Plus Magazine. The editor-in-chief of that also takes care of PinstripesPlus.com as well. Patrick, thank you for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
No problem, Chris.
This is going to be Minor League Monday. Patrick is going to join us every Monday if he can, depending on his schedule, just to give us an update of what's going on with the players down on the farm. Of course, this will go hand-in-hand with our show on YesNetwork.com as well, Minor League Monthly. Patrick, let's talk about a little Yankees catching. I also want to pick your brain on Zoilo Almonte, but we'll get to him in a second. I want to start with the catching here. And Gary Sanchez, he spent time with Charleston and Tampa last year and just Tampa this year, batting .266 with 10 homers and 45 ribbies in 62 games so far. A righty, been with the Yankees since 17 years old. What do you see? How is he going to progress through the ranks as the years start to click away here, Patrick?
Well, he's already one of the top prospects overall, not only in the Yankee organization, but in baseball. He's a dual threat. He's got, you know, big-time plus power. I mean, the 10 home runs is nice, but I don't think it really reflects just how powerful a swing he has. I mean, he plays in the Florida State League, known to be a pitching-friendly league, but he has just got some mammoth right-handed power. And then defensively, he's come a real long way. I mean, he always had the innate athleticism behind the plate, but now he's showing refined skills, throwing out runners, blocking balls, you know, framing pitches. He's turned himself into an above-average, borderline-plus defender. I mean, he's throwing out over 40% of base would-be base stealers this year. He picked off a guy the other night at second base with the game on the line in the ninth inning. Guy leaning off second base a little too far and threw him out to end the game, and preserve the victory. So this is a guy that can help on both sides of the ball. I think he's very exciting.
Yeah, if you hear some screaming in the background, that would be my 11-month-old.
That's fine.
She wants me to come upstairs, but I can't. Daddy's working. So anyway, so this guy is plus at the plate and plus behind it as well, is what you're telling us.
Yeah, he's probably not plus yet. He is a Dominican catcher. Dominicans aren't really known for developing a lot of catchers, but this is a guy, you know, the only thing that he has to really worry about is his rapport with the pitchers themselves. English is coming along slowly.
How does he handle a pitching staff, Patrick?
He does pretty well with that. I mean, there's still a learning curve there. That's probably why he hasn't been promoted to Trenton just yet. I mean, Jared Murphy, who we'll talk about in a minute, he got promoted to AAA. The guy behind him got promoted to Tampa. So they're probably keeping him back in Tampa a little bit longer just so he can continue working on his English, continue working on building the rapport with the pitchers. But,
right.
I mean, the physical attributes of the position, you know, they're all plus right now. It's the mental side, learning what pitches to call in certain sequences, that type of thing, that, you know, he's probably average right now. But he's shown the proclivity, if you will, to kind of make that next leap mentally.
Okay. Now, what about Peter O'Brien, who's also in High A Tampa? He was a second-round draft pick of the Yankees last year in the amateur draft out of the University of Miami. He's 21 years old, another righty. What can you tell us about Peter O'Brien?
O'Brien, offensively, is just as good as Sanchez. I mean, he's got big-time, big-time
wow.
power. I think I want to say he had like 34, 35 extra base hits in his first 52 games this year. I mean, he just 22 doubles, like 12 home runs, a triple. I mean, he'll hit him at any park. It doesn't matter. He could be playing in Citi Field and still be hitting some monstrous home runs. He's got that kind of power. Defensively, he's got plus arm strength. He's got an accurate arm, but he's a big guy. He's 6'5", probably 240. He's
wow.
not very nimble, although he's nimble for his size. He's not going to be a great defender. He's probably going to be average at best. There's talk that they might move him to some other positions to try and give him some position flexibility because they do have Sanchez, because they do have Murphy.
Right, they have that depth, right.
They have that depth, so they might start putting him at first base. There's talk of maybe even putting him at third, a position he played in high school. So, again, he has some athleticism for a big slugging type, but that's going to be his calling card, is the slugging home runs. I mean, he's just got big-time strength and huge hands. I mean, he's got like Shaquille O'Neal like hands. I mean, he just envelops a bat. But he's got power to all fields, and especially straightaway center.
If they were going to switch him to that position, where do you think would be a natural place for him to land? Maybe first base or an outfield, corner outfield spot?
I would not want to have him in the corners just because he's just not that fast. You know, first
right.
base would probably be it. I could see him maybe playing a serviceable third. I kind of still like him at catcher. I think the position, you know, flexibility makes some sense, but his best position probably still is catcher's because he does pretty well. He is bilingual. He speaks Spanish fluently. He does have a very good rapport with his pitchers, but you know, he still has to work some work to do. It's only his first really full year catching at the professional level, so he still has some work to do with, you know, framing pitches and whatnot. But he's got a really big time arm and you know, and surprising accuracy for a guy that hasn't been catching as long as he has.
So right now, George M. Steinbrenner Field down in Tampa is seeing some talent behind the plate with O'Brien and Sanchez both down there,
especially
now,
at the plate.
Right. So you alluded to J.R. Murphy, who was promoted from AA Trenton to AAA Scranton Wilkes-Barre. He's 22, another righty, second round 2009 draft pick from the Yankees. 10 games so far up in AAA. He is raking right now, .343 with two homers and six ribbies in just 10 games out of the Pendleton School in Bradenton, Florida. He, you know, we've talked about him in the past. He's been spotlighted on Minor League Monthly. Murphy's been on the radar, as well as Sanchez. Peter O'Brien, you know, this is the first time I'm really hearing of Peter O'Brien. But J.R. Murphy and Gary Sanchez have been on, you know, our radar. We've talked about them before. How has Murphy done throughout the ranks? You've had eyeballs on him, Patrick, so give us a little scouting report on him.
I've always been a big Murphy fan. To me, he's one of the most consistent players, and not just offensively, but defensively. He's turned himself into probably, at one point, he's probably an average catcher to definitely above average now. I don't know that he'll ever be a plus defensive catcher. He's got good arm strength. It's above average, borderline plus. He makes accurate throws. He's so good at everything. He just doesn't really excel at one thing except hitting. He's just a natural hitter. I mean, some guys are just born to hit, and that's Murphy. I mean, I think his career average is probably .280 in the minors. That's going to go higher, I think, as he gets to the higher levels, because this is a guy that just commands the strike zone. He knows what's a strike. He knows what's a ball. He doesn't really swing out of his shoes. He takes what the pitchers give him, and he's got surprising power. He's not a big guy. He's probably 5'11", 6', maybe 190, 195. Not tremendously big, but he's got power. He's got 8 home runs this year. And I think what we're learning is, as these guys climb the Riley ladder and they get out of the Florida State League and they get out of Charleston, which is not a hitter's ballpark at all, these power numbers tend to go up because the big league parks are actually smaller. So I think this is a guy that could see, you know, we could see some real, you know, decent power production, 15, 20 home runs once he gets to the big leagues. And he's a high makeup guy. He's also bilingual, like O'Brien. He speaks fluent Spanish. His mother's Cuban. He just knows the game. He's just a high makeup, high intelligence guy who knows how to hit, and he's going to run into some
sounds
balls
like,
and hit some home runs.
It sounds like he's a Joe Girardi guy, you know, a real catcher who's going to go back there. He knows how to handle a pitching staff, and the Yankees will love him because, you know, he gets on base. You talked about his eye and his keen sense of the strike zone. You know, he's walking a lot. 29 walks. So far this year, 24 with Trenton and 5 with Scranton. So, and he's only, like I said, he's only been up there 10 games, 40 plate appearances. He's got 5 walks. His on-base percentage is .425. I mean,
right.
He was only hitting .268 with Trenton. So this is a guy that could be on the fast track. And you have, you know, we've heard guys like Austin Romine. He's up there now with Francisco Cervelli, who can't catch a break. Who every year seems like something happens to him, especially when he starts to get, you know, really get going. But let me turn our attention to, you know, a lot of the beat writers are saying this tongue-in-cheek, and I get it. Twitter's a lot of tongue-in-cheek stuff. I don't take too many things seriously on Twitter when guys are throwing it out there, but he's calling Zoilo Almonte Puig East. Now, I'd like to see him do it a little bit longer, but how surprised are you, Patrick, at how he's handled the big leagues so far?
I'm not surprised at all, to be honest with you. I actually said it to our subscribers at the beginning of the year when all the injuries, actually back in spring training, when all the injuries started to befall the Yankees, you know, Teixeira going down, Granison going down. I said, especially when Teixeira went down, I said, you know what? I told our subscribers, I would like to see the Yankees bring up Amante back then because he's a switch hitter and he's one of the few switch hitters that was big league ready. He's not
right.
a great right-handed hitter, but he can handle the bat. Zoilo, in the past, his biggest problem was consistency. He's always shown in flashes, and the home runs will come in bunches. I mean, there'll be times where he'll hit 7-10 home runs in a month when he gets red hot. So I'm not surprised by this. And he's never really been a high walks guy in the minor leagues until this season, actually. But he's always
right.
known the strike zone. He's never really swung at bad pitches. So I'm not surprised by it, but believe me, there's going to be some times where he's going to have some cold spells, as they happen to everybody. I mean, gosh, it happens to Cano every now and
then.
That's
baseball,
happens
yeah.
to the best
I mean,
of
that's
them.
What people have to understand, right.
But Zoilo's the kind of guy that, you know, his success does not surprise me at all. And he's always been, and if you even look at his minor league numbers, and I always take minor league numbers with a grain of salt, but the one consistent thing with him, while he hasn't been a consistent player overall, the one thing he has been consistent as is hitting in the clutch. He's always been good at driving in runs. His higher batting averages every year from the time he's 16, and I guess he's 24 now, have always been when runners in scoring position. He's always been there for the big moment. And that's the thing that I've always liked about Almonte. But he'll have his moments, and even in the outfield, defensively, where he'll have a mental lapse, and he'll let a ball get by him that shouldn't get by him. But this is a guy that can be very productive at the plate.
Well, 583 so far with the homer and four ribbies, and he was big-time clutch against the Rays, especially in those two bases-loaded situations in this past four-game series. So Yankee fans had a lot to cheer about when Almonte strode to the plate. Now, I want to talk about a couple of pitchers. You know, we talked about the Killer Bees a couple of years ago, and we all know Banuelos is going through rehabilitation from Tommy John surgery. Do you know what the latest is on him? Has he been cleared to do anything, or is he still in the rehab process where he can't do any baseball-related activities?
I believe right now, and don't quote me on this, the last time I talked to Manny, he was planning on beginning his throwing program right about now. So
oh, okay.
The plan for him was never to pitch this year. I do need to check back in with him to find out where he is in the throwing program, but that was the plan as of the beginning of the season, was to begin throwing right now. But there should be all signs were pointing towards him being healthy for next season.
Okay, and Dellin Betances, who, again, you know, really struggled with control when he started for Scranton Wilkes-Barre this season, was just, you know, basically doing terrible down there. And then all of a sudden, they make him a reliever. Do you think this could springboard him to the next level? He's out of options next spring. Is this reliever or bust for Betances?
Yes, it is. It absolutely
okay.
is. They have no other choice. This is kind of... You know, the Yankees, I think, have always regretted trading Tyler Clippard without trying him out in the bullpen first. And I think that's what they're doing with Betances. I think this is, you know, kind of last straw. Let's see what he can do as a kind of maybe grip it and rip it type of back-end bullpen guy. We know he's got the stuff. That's never been in question. I mean, throws 98, he's got a nasty curveball, great changeup. His problem's always been strikes, throwing strikes consistently, getting ahead in the counts. And if he can do that in shorter stints, and he has shown that even when he was struggling as a starter, there were times where, you know, first three or four innings, he was unhittable, and he wasn't walking anybody. But then that fourth, you know, maybe that second time through the lineup, he'd start walking some more guys, maybe trying to get a little too fine with his pitches, what have you. But, yeah, right now this is probably his final straw with the Yankees to, you know, see what he can do in the bullpen.
All right, so Preston Claiborne comes up when Jabba Chamberlain goes down. I want to ask you about him, too, because he wasn't really the one that was thought of amongst the prognosticators in the preseason, and I'm excluding you from that because I didn't hear from you about this, but it was pretty much across the board that Mark Montgomery, I mean, he was the buzz even before spring training started. Like, he was the next one up in the bullpen. But this Claiborne kid, you know, he's getting the job done, and what a story. You know, his father is a Yankee fan out in Texas. He takes him to his first game. It's a Rangers-Yankees game. His father passes away his sophomore year at Tulane, and now he's a Yankee. I mean, I don't see how much better it can get besides, you know, having your father with you now to reap all the rewards of, you know, telling him to act like a Yankee throughout his professional career, throughout his baseball career, that is. Are you surprised at his success at the major league level?
I'm not surprised at his success. I was a little surprised he was one of the first guys called up. I will say that did come as a shock to me a little bit. Preston's one. The Yankees have quite a number of these relief type prospects at the minor league level that have been consistent. You know, and Preston's one of them. I mean, that's his thing. He doesn't do anything great, but what he is, he consistently gets guys out. I mean, he's got a 3-pitch mix. He goes right after guys. He doesn't mess around on the mound, and that. I think he's a great story for a lot of these guys that do have great stuff, like Betances, that, you know what, challenge the hitters and see what they can do, because I think the biggest thing that these prospects that get to the big leagues have to do mentally is realize they belong. And Preston felt he belonged from the get-go, and the success has shown that. And I think his success is a great poster for these other guys that are coming up going, hey, let's just challenge these guys and see what they got. Because they do. They have other guys. Tommy Canley's a guy in Trenton that, you know, he's got great stuff. And now, in the past, he'd always been having a hard time throwing strikes, and now he's throwing more strikes this year, challenging guys. So I think Preston's story is a great one for everybody up and down the minor league system. And, hey, let's challenge some of these hitters and not worry about whether or not they're going to be yanking them out of the ballpark or not.
Now, Michael Pineda, he's on his way back. He's making a couple of minor league rehab starts. I just want to ask you about the rotation moving forward. And I know, you know, we decided to talk about catching here, but I just want to pick your brain on this. Pineda comes back healthy. And I talked about Phil Hughes last week after his last start and how he probably won't be in the rotation too much longer, let alone with the Yankees too much longer if, you know, his inconsistency continues. I mean, sooner or later, you got to look at the record and say you are what your record is. And I hate bringing it up. I hate every time somebody says something like that, they bring up Bill Parcells. But he said it, so unfortunately, you have to bring it up. You are what your record says you are. And, you know, that 18-win season, Hughes got the most run support. I'm not saying Phil Hughes isn't a talented pitcher. He is. I just don't think with his stuff he could succeed. Especially in the Bronx, pitching at Yankee Stadium, you know, pretty much half of his starts or more when it comes there. The fly ball pitcher in that stadium does not go hand in hand. So I want to ask you, if Phil Hughes isn't back with this team next year, Kuroda isn't back with this team next year, did the Yankees have enough in-house, Patrick, to fill up this rotation? And who do you think it will be?
That's a great question. My initial gut reaction is probably if you're talking about losing two guys from the rotation, I think a lot of that's going to hinge on whether or not Nova is going to be an option. I mean, he pitched well yesterday. You could put Nova in, you could put Pineda in. Right there, you got two guys to replace Hughes and Kuroda. Do they have other guys at the minor league level? Brett Marshall really hasn't taken the next leap in his development. He's at Triple-A, and, you know, he's very much Hughes-like right now. I mean, there'll be some great starts, and there'll be some real bombs. Matt Tracy's a guy at Double-A right now that, you know, it's tough to pencil him in there next year, but I wouldn't put it past him. He's got this little cutter going on right now. I mean, Gil Patterson's the new pitching coordinator, and he was known as Captain Cutter with the Oakland A's when he was the pitching coordinator there. And he's teaching these guys in the minor league level cutters. And Matt Tracy's been a guy that's kind of flown a little bit under the radar this year in Trenton. And I've seen him twice, and the two times I've seen him, he's been fantastic. So he's a guy. They have some depth. Nick Turley's another guy. I just don't know that the Yankees are going to want to go into a season with two new rookie pitchers. So it's going to have to be Nova or Pineda and then maybe one rookie. So, yeah, they probably could fill it in-house, but if they're banking on two guys outside of Pineda and Nova, I don't know that they're going to want to do that, not from a starting standpoint. Because I think they got a bad taste in their mouth with Kennedy and Hughes when they did that one year, putting two rookie starting pitchers in the rotation like that.
Since you brought him up, just for our listeners who, you know, who've never seen Matt Tracy, righty, lefty, what is he?
He's a lefty. He's a left-handed pitcher. He was a college outfielder. He was drafted in like the 22nd round. They signed him as a pitcher. He's a 91 and 94 guy. He'll bump some 95, some 96s at times, but he's very consistently 91 and 94. The last start I saw him personally was probably about 3 weeks ago, and his pitch number 101 was 94 miles an hour. So he maintained
wow.
his velocity, you know, deep in the games. He has an above-average curveball at times. It can be inconsistent. He has a very consistent big league changeup. He throws strikes for the most part. But, you know, again, because he's only been pitching for about 2 years, he'll have his bouts of wildness. There'll be some, you know, some games where he'll walk four or five guys. But he's a gutsy pitcher, and he loves to pitch inside. And I love that, especially from lefties. He's just not afraid to pitch inside. So he goes right after guys. Usually his walks are just, you know, not from, you know, not wanting guys to hit, you know, have them hit them. It's just more of, you know, maybe the curveball command just a little off at that time. But he's a gutsy guy, and that's what I love about him. He's never going to be, you know, one of these big league all-star type guys, but he could definitely be an inning guy. And, you know, Adam Warren's another guy that could be an in-house
yeah,
option next year as a starting
you know
pitcher.
What?
He's pitched very
he's
well.
A great job, yeah.
So they have some in-house guys. I just don't know that they're going to take two guys, two starting pitchers from the minor league level and just throw them into the mix next year out of the rotation.
Well,
I just don't see that
with
happening.
Hughes and,
right.
With Hughes and Kennedy that 1 year, so I don't think that's going to happen either. But anyway, good stuff from you on the catching situation. Give us a little update on Banuelos and Betances. We appreciate that. Patrick Teal of Pinstripes Plus Magazine and Pinstripes Plus. .com. If you're not a member of PinstripesPlus.com, do yourselves a favor, go over there and register right now, because if you want to learn about everything on a day-to-day basis and not just once a week on the podcast of the Yankees farm system across the board, believe me, I get the magazine. Patrick sends it up. It is phenomenal. Everything you want to know about these kids from the time they get drafted all the way through the minor league system, pretty much it's a microscope put over their lives, not only baseball, but otherwise as well. Patrick does a great job, and I really appreciate you coming on this Minor League Monday to give me some information on these guys. I really appreciate it, Patrick.
No problem, Chris. Pleasure.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. That is Patrick Teal of Pinstripes Plus Magazine and PinstripesPlus.com. I am Chris Sheeran. This is the Chris Sheeran Show. The Yankees have the day off today. I did too, but there's no day off from the Chris Sheeran Show. We keep this rolling every day. I hope you enjoyed Patrick Teal, and I also hope you enjoyed my youngest daughter, who thought she was on the podcast as well. So, Savannah, maybe there's a there she is. Maybe there's a future in broadcasting for her. Maybe she wanted to be on the show today, but unfortunately, and I'm sorry if you were trying to listen to this and you heard her scream. There's nothing I could do. I am home. She is home. And I'm not going to scream at my daughter for wanting to be on the radio with me, right? Right. Okay. For myself, because there's no more Joe Oriam anymore, very, very sadly, I'm Chris Sheeran. We'll talk to you tomorrow on another Chris Sheeran Show right here on YesNetwork.com and Blog Talk Radio. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.